Okay, well, let's open with prayer. Lord, we just love you this morning. We're thankful for this day that we have to enjoy. And what truly is enjoyable about it is that we are rightly related to you and Jesus and the work that he did. And so in that, we get to enjoy all of the benefits that come with being your child. So we just praise you this morning. We worship you. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to spend time learning more about you. I pray that that's what we do is in this study, as we look at what is it that it takes to take on your character so that we can rightly love you and we can love others. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for any that you of you in here that don't know me, I'm Craig Clark. Normally the Sanders, Jeff and Heather are sitting right here on the front row. Jeff co-teaches with me. So we kind of, our normal routine is that we do 2 weeks at a time. I'll teach 2 weeks and then he will. And the format in this class is that we both like feedback. So, you know, we're going to invite you in with some questions. We just realize the value of you being able to speak your faith. That is an important aspect of the Christian life. Let me just ask you right off the start, are you ever going to say some things that aren't right, that might not be biblical or might not be just right? Sure you are. That's good, because we're in a safe environment here where there can be discussion about those things, right? We can talk about them. We can look at some other verses. We can look at different perspectives from other people and what God has revealed to them through his word. So I want you to feel free to engage as we go through. You know, this week, just going to be a little introduction to the class. I want to introduce you to this guy, Richard Owendowski and myself. We taught this book through this book out at the prison unit in the Estelle unit. It was at the faith-based wing of that unit. So we had about 70 to 100 guys in there. It was just a great, great study that we did. I don't know how familiar that you are with Jerry Bridges, but we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. But let's start with this. Have any of you done any Bible studies this summer that impacted you? And please, let's just get that sharing started right off the bat. Yeah, Rick?
Yeah, I go to a Bible study on Friday morning that impacted me a lot.
Okay.
Studying Job.
Wow.
To meet with other men and just have that time to, like, say things that might not be biblical, but the other guys there will draw you back in.
Yes, yes.
It's just a good experience.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's not always just, it's not that you're wrong. You know, somebody just has another perspective of something that you didn't see about the scripture that just enhances what you gain out of that. So I always enjoy those group settings, you know,
that just... more perspective on the, you see so many things you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Anyone else? Come on in. Hi there. No worries. We've got books up here.
Just one.
Just one? Okay. All right. There you go.
Thanks.
All right.
Our small group always gets off subject of the sermon, but we have some very interesting discussions.
Yeah, you find that hard to believe.
Absolutely. We find, and some of our small group members are in here, but we just find such value in the time that we spend together in our small group. It is just really something of value. It's where you can really get to know one another. You're able to share some things that you might not want to just share all over, right? They're private. They're sometimes painful. Right? Or there are things that we celebrate together. We've had a lot of things that we've celebrated. And our group is a very unique group. We might razz each other a little bit and clown on each other. It's pretty good. Well, let me ask, yes, Jack,
I was just going to say with the small group thing, you know, CF does such a good job of laying a foundation.
Yes.
But then there's always more scripture to go to, and we tend to go to some of those in our small group.
Yes. Excellent.
It's good.
Awesome.
You know how CF just skims over them.
You're right. Yeah. We parked on that family for a little bit, didn't we? Yeah, he did a great job on that.
Part 17, one of the guys said, I'm skipping this week.
Yeah, he covered it pretty thorough, I think. Well, what about from the summer classes? What did you gain from the summer classes?
Yes, the ladies' group was wonderful. Mm-hmm. The ladies that shared their experiences were very touching and very open about things, and it was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes. About somebody from the men's classes, anybody?
Well, we missed part of the men's class because we were gone. So I started late, and I'm reading the book, Mecca.
Yes.
And I'm only down about a month short. A little bit more than a sword. And man, the book is deep. It just makes you feel like, what have I done in my life, you know? It's knowing God. It's just, I mean, it's a good book. And I mean, the class was good too, but like I said, I'm reading, I'm behind. But It's a deep book.
Well, you always have, those are recorded classes, so if you ever want to go back and listen to those, you can do that as well. At least they normally are. I don't know, you know, some weeks there'll be a little hiccup. But well, let me ask you this. What drove your interest in this class?
We like the teachers.
One of them, anyway.
One of them. But Jeff will be back next week, so no worries. No worries.
Jerry Bridges. I love Jerry Bridges.
Yes. Jerry Bridges. He's
excellent.
A man.
Indicator, yes.
He is. We're going to kind of look into that a little bit and see how that, how his life, you know, came to the point where he was writing these books. And, you get a chance to see the providence of God. It's just amazing on his life. So Jerry Bridges is a good reason. That's a better reason than coming for the teacher, because he really does a great job on the subjects that he covers.
For me, it was the title. I mean, the practice of God. Yes. Because a lot of times a lot of times I'm in a study and it's like you get the knowledge.
Right.
That whole application, what does this look like for me daily? I'm hoping that's going
to
be.
I think you're right. I think there's some things in his life as as God was moving him along that caused him really to be very practical about, you know, well, how do you put that into motion, you know? And so I think that's very interesting. What do you hope to gain from this class?
Peace and godliness.
Godliness. Excellent answer. Excellent answer.
Just maybe to be able to walk be different.
Yes.
You know, to learn where your walk can improve.
Yes. Yep, that's what it's about for sure. Well, look, let's just dive into Jerry for just a minute. The interesting thing about him, he wrote 20 books over a period of 40 years. And so, look, like I said, he's a very practical writer, but a very, very godly man. You're going to get to see in his writing what a godly person looks like. You can just tell by looking at him, he's a kind, just a gentleman. That's the way his writing comes across as well. Some interesting facts about him, not so much this one, but he was born December 4th, 1929. He passed on March 6th of 2016. That is always a date that I remember, because March 6th, 1981, was when my father passed away. So I thought that was interesting that date was the same. But here's a key date, October 29th of 1929. Does anybody know That's the Black stock Friday. Black Tuesday. And look, it was a hit. So this, you see how close this is to his birth. So one thing you're going to find out about Jerry right off the bat, he came up in some hard times. He came up and, you know, my mother was born in 26, and she's talked to me about what that time was like, but how their family and other families worked to get through that. But look, it was, those were some rough times. We may be headed back for those. I don't know. His parents were fundamentalists. What do you think of when you think of fundamentalists?
Stern.
So who said stern? Yes. Strict, right? We're not deviating. There's no room for any deviating from this deal. That really rings home with me. With the Christian school that I came up in, man, they were strict fundamentalists, and they had some rules. They definitely had some rules. But not only did Jerry grow up in an era that was very difficult, he personally had some difficulties, some challenges that he faced. And what I find interesting about this is the people that God selects to be the impact on his kingdom. You know, some people might think he didn't have anything to offer. He was cross-eyed. He was deaf in his right ear. He had deformities in his breastbone and his spine. We're going to see how those play out in just a little bit, too. Even though he was brought up in that fundamentalist, his conversion happened when he was 18 years old while he was at college in Oklahoma. But this next little bit of information, I can relate to that. But because before that, when he was growing up in church, Jerry walked the aisle three different times. When he was 9, when he was 11, and he was 13 years old. But conversion here at 18. So I just want to say, comments. What do you think about that? Have you ever experienced anything like that? Yes. Don't be afraid. Come on out with it.
Our background, you know, from the way we were raised, I won't say what church.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's how it was. If you had any little sin, you were afraid, you know, you had to go rushing back up there or you were going to.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly the way it is. Man, it was a rules-driven, what I grew up, Independent Baptist. I'm just going to say what it was, Independent Baptist for me. And, man, they had have, he walked the aisle. That's a phrase, you know, that really stems back to my childhood of what that was like. And there was an invitation given at every service. That this came from the Gospel Coalition, this information that I got. And it just talked about the fact that there was a, you know, every week there was, or every service there was an invitation. And those had strong pull to them. They were emotionally charged and they were confusing. If you've ever experienced this, if you've ever, you know, if you have any doubt whatsoever. But Jerry received a ROTC scholarship from the Navy and he graduated with an engineering degree from the University of Oklahoma. He served as an officer in the Navy from 1951 to 53 during the Korean conflict. You're going to see some. You're going to get to start seeing the providence of God in Jerry's life, because you're going to see like, and then the next day, this happened, which is just amazing. This was the start of God's call on his life. During his time when he was in the Navy, he was invited to a navigator's Bible study, and he went to that study, and his life was never the same from that point. I want to tell you, there's an older couple that I still know that where I attended church when I was 18, and I went to their Sunday school class, and they taught the Bible in a way that I had never experienced before. They were from a Bible church background, and from that first day that I went in there, I was like, oh my goodness, because I was not gaining anything from my Sunday school classes or the teaching that I was getting. But that day, my life changed, and this was a changing point for him. It began the journey. He got, during his time there, he got to know staff members of the Navigators well. He was stationed on a boat in Japan at that time. And one day, Jerry was asked, why don't you just go all in with the Navigators? And guess what? The very next day, Jerry would fail. He would fail a physical because of his hearing issues, and he was given a medical discharge. I find that odd because you would have thought, I mean, he was born with that defect. You know, how did they not find that before then? But probably because they were looking over it for service. I'm sure that now it's different atmosphere. But the very next day, so this is what began to shape his writing right here. After being discharged, he got a job at Convair, manufacturing of airplanes. This is what would start to prepare him, because here's what he did. He wrote technical literature for them. So it would be sharp and concise and practical, Paige, of what is the procedure? What are you supposed to do? And so God put him in that job to begin to shape him. What about your life? Do you ever think about the providence of God in your life and how he shaped and formed the way for you and the ministry that he's given for you? Eventually, Jerry attended a conference, and God called him to full-time service. His response to that call of that day was, God, whatever you want, I want to do it. The very next day, the founder of the Navigators asked Jerry for an interview to come on board, and that's what he did. Isn't that amazing? The very next day. This led to Nav Press, okay, publishing company, that was formed while Jerry was working with the Navigators. And here's what they did. Some of the first work that they did, they took audio files of Jerry's teaching, and they started making booklets, publishing booklets, Christian educational booklets. His first one was on willpower. Isn't that amazing? And then this is really interesting when we think back to that area where he was, you know, walked the aisle three different times. In 2014, Jerry published a memoir of his life, God Took Me by the Hand. A story of God's unusual providence. These are the seven things, the lessons that he came out with from his life. The Bible is meant to be applied to specific life situations. Paige, right on with what you're saying. It's great to have knowledge, but you got to know how to put it into motion. You got to know how to let it take root in your life. All who trust in Christ as Savior are united to Him in a loving way, just as the branches are united to the vine. I love this one. The pursuit of holiness and godly character is neither by self-effort nor simply letting Christ live life through you. We're going to discover that, and we're going to go over that a little bit more as we go through this book. Right here, the sudden understanding of the doctrine of election was a watershed event for me that significantly affected my entire Christian life. That is something that hangs a lot of people up, election right there. They struggle with it. It's tough. Jerry read a book or some literature on election. He called it heresy. The very next day he got up and he said, wait a minute, there's something to that. The very next day he got up and he said, hang on a minute, there's something to that. And that moment was a watershed event for him, that God would select you out of the common of this world. The representative union of Christ and the believer means that all Christ did in his perfect obedience and his death for our sins is credited to us. Something great. The gospel is not just for unbelievers in their coming to Christ. That's also very interesting right there. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to apply the life of Christ to ours. These are the seven big things with all that he went through that came, that he wanted to share about his life. So as we think about just this book that we're going to dive into and about the subject of godliness, I want to back up just a little bit, and I just want to ask you, how would you define this morning holiness? These are questions that we're going to answer as we go through. His first book, the book that really is before this one, is titled The Pursuit of Holiness. Okay? But how do you define holiness?
Set apart.
Set apart. Excellent, Keith.
Different from the ways of the world.
Different, yes. Other than, right? Other than the common. Cut apart. Separated. Yep. Well, how would you define godliness?
To be like God.
To be like God? Okay. In what ways? I mean, always, right? But I mean,
attributes that he reveals there you go. To us.
Yes. Right. His character traits, right? So, how do you describe the difference between these two, holiness and godliness? Mm-hmm.
Godliness is something to strive for. Holiness, we cannot never be here on earth.
Yes.
But godliness, we can strive for.
Yes. That's right on. That's good, Bernie. Yes.
You know, when I think of godliness, I'm thinking of Christ-likeness, what we see that Jesus, how he lived, you know, and what we should live up to try and be.
Yes.
But holiness is like Moses standing before the burning bush, and the fact that God's ways are so far above our ways, probably never different. You know?
Right. Right. What was Moses' reaction to the holiness of God in that moment that you're kind of talking about?
But what about that scripture? It says, be holy for
him. We're going to talk about that one, right? We're going to get into that.
We have the holiness of Christ.
We have the holiness of Christ, right. So that's what we're going to dive into the first week. We're actually not going to go into the book the first week. I'm going to pull from his first book, the book on the pursuit of holiness, and we're going to talk about that stuff right there. About what about holiness? Is that something that is inherent in us? Are we good naturally, right? Or is it outside of us? And so, but what about the whole idea that we have been placed in a holy position? We are holy. That holiness doesn't come from us. So we're going to dive into that a little bit, because what we're ultimately going to see is once we understand that, then there is a response to that. And the response is, Bernie, what you said, is that we would order our lives, like you said, to take on the character traits, to take on things that would be pleasing to God. When we think about the character of God, are there any verses that just come to your mind that would describe that?
I always think of the whatsoever verse, whatsoever things are lovely and pure,
okay,
and all those things. And when it comes down to it, it says, think on those things. All those are things that are of God.
Yes. Yes. Right. He's described that those are good things to set your mind on, so they are godly things. Right? Excellent. Anybody else?
The fruit of the Spirit.
Ah, Galatians 5.
22, 23.
Yes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This isn't the exhaustive list here, so we're going to look at a few of them, but look at the list here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What about the passage that really CF read it again this morning, right out of Colossians, right? He gave a list in Colossians of what godly character is like. Do you remember that? Chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? These things. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're to bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all over and over all these virtues is what? Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Right? So we have this list, even as we just started with a couple of verses here. Which of these character traits do you find to be really, really difficult? Besides all of them. But there are some that your personality style will have more problems with than others. Have you ever noticed that? Like, there's some you go, man, you'll see in other people, like, they don't struggle with that, and you'll think, why? Why am I struggling so bad with that?
Patience.
With being kind or patient or loving, or some people have trouble forgiving, right? Patience, you say, is one that's
not patient.
Not patient. Yeah.
I want it done now.
I can be that way. I can. But you do, as you walk with God, you learn to give over control of your life. And it is a good thing when you do that. It is good for you when you give up these things that you hold on to or that you just struggle with. Because, man, there is tremendous peace in your life when you do that. Continuing in Colossians, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, such as members of one body. You were called to peace. You ever had trouble being at peace with him? Sometimes yourself. Some people have trouble being at peace with God because of some things that have happened in their life. Or maybe they just have some internal conflict and they have trouble with internal peace. Or what about peace with others? You ever met people that are just really contentious? They have trouble with peace? Look, there's some people that will challenge you. I had a neighbor, Cindy and I, a neighbor that recently that he just has been very difficult to deal with. And, you know, you go over, you just try to continue to be kind and considerate and thoughtful. But sometimes, man, you think, I'm about done with that. That guy's rude. But, pardon me, Stephanie? We do.
That's one of the things that separates Christianity apart from every other religion, is that we are able to experience the peace of God through our hope in Christ, and we can rest.
Yes.
It's not a faith and works based
right
system. And so every other religion has to continue to work and
yes
to not be able to rest in knowing that it's been taken care of.
Exactly. That's why Jesus was able to say, like, hey, my burden
right
is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think it how it is said. But I mean, walking with God, you have the power of the Spirit to walk in these character traits, and they're produced from the vine to the branch, right? And so you don't have to strive. That's why he said, you know, be still and know that I'm God, right? Stop striving, rest in me. You don't have to do this. And, you know, it is something that's produced in your life.
I had that visual that CF gave about if you're lacking peace or rest, that whole unfired, you must be out of bounds.
That's,
you know,
right.
What does God's word say? Why am I feeling this way? To get me back in bounds so that I can experience that peace. I love that visual.
Yes.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, that was a great one. How about, I'm sorry, Jack, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to use peace as an umpire in your life.
Yes.
Man, it means a lot.
It does. It should just send off a warning light, right? Like, oh, something is not right now. What about this one? Still out of Colossians, where he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, such as members of one body, you were also called to peace, and be thankful. Do Christians ever have a problem with thankfulness? Yeah, they do. It is the being content is something, you know, thankfulness is a good way to, if you have problems with contentment, being thankful is a way to help with that. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another through songs, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing with grace and gratitude in your hearts. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, and also 32, says, be completely humble. You ever had any problem with humility? Or how about the next one? And gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Man, what a task that God gives us to live out what He has called us to do. Man, you look at it, it's overwhelming, because I'm going to tell you something. It's impossible. This is an impossible list. You cannot do this. That's why He gave us His Spirit to empower us, because there's no way you can do it.
Thing I struggle with is, how do we know when we're supposed to be gentle and compassionate? I mean, we're living in such a divided nation, and things are getting so questionable, that when do we know when is the time to fight and when's the time to be still? And that's my problem. Is that I have a lot of the loss of peace because of what's going on in our nation.
It's bad.
And I'm wondering, just, I mean, even Jesus got angry.
You know, I'll take a stab at that. For me, it means anything that dishonors God.
Yes.
If it dishonors me, I can live with that. I should be able to live with that. But if it does dishonors God, no, I need to stand up.
Right. So. Yes.
But how do we have peace when we stand up?
Well, I believe that we have to get guidance from God as we move forward in any situation, right? Those aren't just with political realms, but it's also in the realm. Well, I mean, the most difficult one I think that you ever face is your family. They know you, you know, them, and then you got to move in sometimes, and you got to be gentle when you move in. Why is that? Because God is always striking lightning bolts on us, right? That's the way He deals with us. Zap, quit that, bop. No, He does not do that. He is gentle with us. Man, He just wants to steer us back into what is good for us. And so when we move in, when we see that we need to move in and deal with a person, well, how do we do it? We do it with gentleness and humility, right? So we're going to dive into that. That's one of the ones. We're not looking at every single one of these in the book, but we are looking at a good number of these. Second Peter. Well, let me back up. What about being impartial and sincere? I mean, favoritism is a major problem, right? Or where we show partiality to certain people. It can happen right in your family. You're going to have personality styles that agree more, and if you're not careful, there'll be some conflict with the ones that don't. So there's no room for impartiality. And certainly, how about, you know, I mean, the Bible speaks a lot about in terms of how people are treated in the church. You know, that's one thing I love about this church, is that it is involved in ministries with people that can't do a lot back, right? They can't really do something for you. That's how we're supposed to be. Those are the people we're supposed to go and minister to. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." That's one we haven't talked about, but I'm just going to go ahead and bring it up. What about self-control? Anybody ever have a little trouble with self-control? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, when I went through this book, I mean, it was so convicting to me in some areas of my life that I just said, man, and there was something that turned in my life going through this book. And it was really just, I'll just share it with you. It was just, not being content and thankful for the gifts that God had given me. See, it doesn't just have to do with money in certain terms of commitment. It can also be with your spiritual gifts. And so to be discontented with God over how he's made you and I just knew in that moment, I said, man, I cannot continue that. That is not good. And so it is a blessing when God lets you see that and reveals that to you. So, you know, I don't know which ones or how many that God is going to work on all of us as we go through, but I just encourage you to dig in and ask God to show you as we look at this. Let's talk about the book, the order of the character traits that he's going to cover. First of all, he's going to start with just talking about, you know, what does devotion to God mean? What is the value of godliness? We're going to dive into those. Like I said, next week we're going to talk about holiness. But after that, Jeff will start in on, you know, the intro to the book there, chapter 1. But he's got these listed out in this order. There's a reason for that. First group, humility, contentment, thankfulness, joy. Those really speak to are getting right with God, right? Really, when you think about it, there's three things that you have to get right with. You have to get right with God, you have to get right with yourself, and you got to get right with others. That's really the Christian life in a nutshell. So this first group really deal with our relationship with the Lord. And so those are the first ones we'll cover. Second group, he looks at holiness. We're going to talk about that some more as we dive down into the book. Self-control and faithfulness. Those are, which of God's people that you think about through all the Bible were completely faithful? They all had some issues, didn't they? They all had some issues. So we're going to get right. These really deal with getting right with ourselves. And then the last or final group, peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and love. They deal with getting right with others. And so I'm going to cover all of that. And, I've got that schedule laid out. We'll see how it goes. Maybe there's more time that needs to be spent on a particular week. But if you look at your book, so as we study this, this is the book that I had. There was a separate study guide when I went through this. But if you look in the back of yours, there's a discussion guide. Page 233. Look, I encourage you as you go through, highlight, mark it up. Write notes out to the side so we can talk about these things. But you'll see as we go through these chapters, you're going to have verses and you're going to have some questions. I'm going to be checking your book every week to make sure you got everything filled out. No, I'm not doing that. But right? But look, it just makes the class so much better. And you personally will gain much more out of it if you take the time to do those study questions. The way he's got those questions, formulated. They're really good. They get down to getting to the ideas that he has in this book and the scriptures that are covered. So, Jerry Bridges, he's just an awesome man. I look forward to this time that we'll spend each week. And just want to open it up for any comments or just things that have crossed your mind as we've been going through this morning. Maybe you want to talk about one of the character traits that we looked at.
Told me he might maybe tell the book because the chances of me getting the questions right are
slim. Joe, I don't know how well you know Joe, but he is a mess. He is a mess, but he's hilarious. He is hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
Keith mentioned something earlier about the whole point is the rest aspect, and he's trying to give us freedom, you know, and a lot of times we don't cooperate with these things. And I mean, he makes it, it's not complicated. God is not complicated in the aspect of,
no,
you know, it's just, there's just freedom and there's rest. And that's the whole point that he's trying to get us to, so that we can have that sweet fellowship with him without all this other baggage. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Jesus said it this way.
Do it his way.
Yes. He said, I have come that you would have life, and you'd have it to the full. And let me tell you, these character traits are one of the aspects of how you live a life that is to the full. Because you can properly enjoy your God. You can properly enjoy the value that God has placed on you, and he'll help fix some of the problems that you got, where you have peace and rest in your life. And he'll give you peace with others too, as you learn to walk and order your life in a way that rightly relates to other people. And it's something that you never regret, you know? You never regret that time that you work on those things. But yeah, that's good. Thank you, Becky. Okay. Well, normally our class time will be, we usually start at 9:45. And we're supposed to end at around 10:30. And sometimes we go a little past that. But we'll try to hold it to that. We'll try. Because I know it's important for Joe to get out of here on time. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we just love you. And we just, Lord, a measure of our love to you would be how we conduct our lives. And so, Lord, might we take this study of what it means to please you, to honor you, to bring glory to you, to not bring any shame to you. Lord, might you just teach us the areas that we need to take on your character. And we know that each one of these, Lord, no matter which one we're looking at, that we've got room where we should do better. But Lord, might our motivation be not so that we could have some checklist of stuff that we would do, but instead, might it be driven from our love that we have for you, because you've shown us what love looks like. You have first loved us, and so we want to respond back because of what you have done, and especially because who you are, that we might respond in a way that brings glory and honor to you. So we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.